I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Thanks for tuning in to Tech Vibe Radio tonight. So glad to have you joining us on our journey of all things cool and tech here in Pittsburgh. So Audrey, I'm so glad you made it back to Pittsburgh.
It was great. Great flights, actually.
Yeah.
I flew to Croatia. Just go to Frankfurt and then hop on over to Zagreb.
Not that big of a deal to get all the way to Croatia.
I know. Well, Croatia is really very close to Italy.
So you weren't vacationing in Croatia, though?
No, I need to. No, I want to go back to Croatia and land in Dubrovnik and spend some time. That's where Game of Thrones and the lives of the rich and famous live in these, or vacation in these castles.
Exactly.
So right on the Adriatic Sea.
So why did you go to Croatia? What was the reason to get on a plane? And
well, the U.S. Embassy, through actually one of our members, through Denise DeSimon at Sea Level, she had been doing some work in Croatia as a result of her work with women and entrepreneurs.
Gotcha.
And they had asked about someone who could help them think through their strategy around, not public policy, but really around the universities and what does it mean to spin out the community, and particularly in a place where they're losing people.
Right.
So there's about 4.2 million people that live in all of Croatia. And now that they're part of the European Union, in many ways they're sort of the stepchild because of all the things going on in the EU.
Right,
there's a lot of good things for them as a result of being part of the EU. But the bad part is that now people can go and travel and live all across the EU. So people can find jobs.
They can just leave the area very easily and find a job someplace else within another.
They didn't have that before.
Right.
Okay. They didn't have that before. And they can find jobs that are better pay or whatever. So Croatia's really trying to understand and think, what is their strategy for economic development and what does it mean to be an innovator and what are their needs? So tourism is about a third of their GDP. So is farming. They have to import a lot as
I believe
well.
It. Right, right, right.
But they also have stellar universities.
Okay.
And so they're really trying to fix their tourism. You know, like I mentioned before, has really been growing. So, and then the service industry, sort of supporting that. There's a lot of little startups of service providers in tech that actually just do work for hire because the prices are cheaper.
Kind of like a back office type of applications.
Yeah, or just doing, iOS development or whatever, you know, skills that we all need here, but you're able to do that there for a lot cheaper. Cost of living is really, really cheap right now. And so they're really trying to figure out how do they leverage and how do they leapfrog compared to what other cities have done.
Very cool. So
there's a lot to learn.
Yeah,
interesting. It's a lot to learn for a little country, but the State Department has a focus on entrepreneurship and innovation.
And that's why they brought you in with your experience working with entrepreneurs, being an entrepreneur yourself in many ways.
They treated me like a rock star. They're television twice and on the radio.
And you were emailing us and tweeting us some pictures, and we were like, wait a second, like Audrey shows up and it's like Elvis is arriving or something.
They're very passionate about what is journalism. Yeah, obviously coming out of many years of communist reign.
Right, right, right.
The younger generation is very passionate about finding the truth.
Cool.
And having honest conversations. That was really
cool.
Interesting.
Yeah. So what were some of the conversations that you were kind of leading when you were there?
I talked about a lot of what happened in Pittsburgh and that it really is a 40-year overnight success.
Exactly. Okay.
And so they have to look at that way. Now, they don't want to because they feel like their time is ticking.
They got to do
it
now.
It's really important.
Yeah. So they're really trying to accelerate.
Yeah.
Just
like many people are. I met a lot of really bright people that are very passionate about their country and their town. Similar to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh apparently even today has over 200,000 people who are of Croatian descent.
Yes, big part of our history.
Which is like the largest Croatian population, supposedly, in the United States. I'm trying to peel that back.
Yeah, I bet you there's a Steelers bar somewhere in Croatia.
I don't know. I didn't even think about that. I'm so busy. I didn't even think about that.
Just saying out loud.
And there really are a lot of similarities, even topography. We're not obviously next to the Adriatic Sea, but we're definitely, you know, the rolling hills and
well, you were showing me some pictures. Yeah,
it had very much similar to Pittsburgh.
A Pittsburgh vibe going on there.
Dubrovnik doesn't, and going out on the sea doesn't.
Gotcha.
But you can see, you know, and the weather's similar, actually.
Always sunny.
It's just
like Pittsburgh
similar.
Day.
It's similar. You can feel, you can feel their combined sense of hope and gloom.
Interesting.
And so the cool thing is that we've been brainstorming with the State Department there.
I know. You came back with, like,
how do we create some pathways based on our own legacy, but also figuring out some ways to sort of help them jumpstart.
So I feel like you're probably going back to Croatia in the near future, I bet, right?
I'm going to go back to Croatia, hopefully in September, and maybe stay. This time maybe try to personally stay and sort of roam around.
Take like an extra few days, because I think you need to explore Dubrovnik and the other locales throughout there. Because you have a knack for finding the good stuff.
I know.
You have this innate sense of finding great coffee.
First of all, coffee is it in Croatia.
Oh, really? Oh, wait. Tell me about this.
When you go to have coffee, and they have great coffee, I just couldn't pack all the stuff in my
oh, my goodness.
Suitcase.
Yeah.
But they have great coffee, but when you say, let's go have coffee, coffee's like 2 hours.
Okay, so it's an experience.
You sit, it's an experience, you talk, you do a little bit of banter.
Interesting.
But you really take the time, and they still smoke.
Really?
There's a lot of cigarettes.
There's a lot of cigarette smoking going on.
Yeah, I was getting coffee.
We got to change that.
And there's cigarettes. Everyone's smoking cigarettes.
So did you have like an espresso there?
You can have espresso there. I mean, obviously it's like Europe. They don't think like Americans.
Exactly.
Have a big, tall cup of coffee.
No, that's fair. I would love to. I'd go there just for the coffee, I think.
You know what? I should get them to send us some coffee.
A couple pounds.
I totally forgot about that.
A couple pounds of the best Croatian roast out there.
I totally forgot about that. They love their meat. They love their meat. That's a big deal.
You're saying every meal had a little.
Like it had everything with me. You're vegetarian?
Like, what does that mean?
Yeah, it's but they're also known for their mushrooms. So there were a lot of mushrooms in
Well, as a vegetarian, that's a cool way to live.
It was great. Yeah, that was really cool.
Wow.
And through some of these small towns, you sort of get a feel for, like, what we go through with the Mon Valley.
Right.
You know, with Braddock and areas that had once been a little bit more vibrant.
So you're going to build more connections between Pittsburgh and Croatia so they can kind of learn from us to maybe help accelerate their trajectory to become an innovation center.
Hopefully, like people feel here about Pittsburgh, that maybe there is a Croatian community.
Definitely.
That would like to build that relationship as well.
That is so interesting. That's why I love when these opportunities come. We're always not quite sure where the connections are. But then you go out there and explore it, and you bring back these actionable items that can actually help move them forward and help move Pittsburgh forward, too. Because I think it's a two-way street there as far as that goes.
It definitely serves our own selfish interest as well. So that's what makes it terrific.
Very cool. I think that's an awesome trip. I'm glad you got to go on that. And I'm hoping you better go back in September.
Well, the other thing I did is in my presentation, I showed part of the Pittsburgh Pivot.
Okay.
So if you don't know what the Pittsburgh Pivot is, go to YouTube and just type in
Pittsburgh Pivot, and it comes right up.
And it comes right up. Watch, it's 11 minutes. And they were very moved. And there's actually someone in the audience who's from Pittsburgh, from Murraysville.
Okay.
And he lives in Croatia.
Oh, you told me about that. That's awesome. Yes, very cool.
He came, and he was like my ringer.
Yep, very cool.
So we have a great show
ahead.
You
had peeps in the audience. We do. It's like a cybersecurity-based theme tonight, Audrey. Really excited because we have Albert Whale from IT Security Solutions coming by, as well as Bora Kalskin from CyberCrunch, and Mount Aloysius College is stopping by to talk about their cyber forensics and digital forensics programs that they're spinning up at the school. So lots of good, fun stuff happening tonight. I'm glad you're back safe from Croatia, and looking forward to going back out there to keep building more connections out there, Audrey. Great, great stuff. We're taking a quick break. We're coming back with more Tech Vibe Radio. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Lusow.
Audrey, we're from the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Learn more about us at pghtech.org.
Welcome back, everybody. It's absolutely 100% positively true. You are listening to Tech Vibe Radio tonight, the only show in town talking to the coolest people, the coolest men and women in Pittsburgh's technology sector. I've been doing this show for, oh my gosh, like 11 years now. We just can't get enough of it. We get to talk to folks like Albert Whale. These are the people that are putting their skin in the game, creating really cool companies. And so, Albert, you got this company called IT Security Solutions. You guys are on some leading edge stuff these days. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I've been looking forward to being on Tech Vibe for a while, and I'm glad that we're here to showcase our product.
Absolutely. So first off, who is Albert Whale?
So I'm a father. As we were talking earlier,
yes, before we came on air,
six kids.
Good Lord.
And I say that word too much. I started in cybersecurity on 9/11.
Wow.
I co-founded the Pittsburgh FBI InfraGuard.
Okay.
So I've been working in cybersecurity to help our country secure the national critical infrastructure.
Wow.
I've done consulting in banking and financial for the VA, teaching the Air Force what cybersecurity is.
Right.
You know, a variety of different things. I enjoy cybersecurity. I've worked in compliance work. But the cybersecurity is so much more fast-paced. You know, you have have that edge.
Exactly. Oh, it is. And tonight's our whole show tonight. I mean, we have CyberCrunch on tonight. They're all about how you destroy your devices and computers so you can't get hacked. And we're talking, of course, to our friends at Mount Aloysius, which is spinning up some cyber forensic stuff. I think you were talking to them
out there in the lobby. Yes,
I know.
Exactly.
So this is exciting. I like when we have like a theme going on here with cybersecurity. So tell us about your company.
Isn't that October?
I think it was October.
But, you know, I think every month needs to be Cybersecurity Awareness Month.
With what I see going on out there and what you see, you get to see the crazies of the crazy stuff.
Man.
I just hear about the stuff that we're allowed to probably hear about. And I just know that it's crazy out there. So, yeah, every month should be Cybersecurity Month because people need to be vigilant when
they're out there. I agree with you wholeheartedly. And, you know, these events that are taking place, I think that a lot more could be done.
Okay.
And sometimes I feel, large corporations, they're so big, they don't know how to get out of their own way.
Exactly. So that's why they need people like you.
Well, they need small business.
Yeah.
And small business needs better security. And that's why we built ItSafe, because ItSafe is geared for small to mid-sized businesses.
Okay.
And we'll manage the security appliance for them.
Aha. Uh-huh. And that's what it's all about these days is because people, they can't bring a whole staff on to do this or bring a dedicated person. They need to kind of have someone with your expertise.
That is so right.
Do that, right?
That is so right.
That's the trend we're seeing kind of everywhere.
They already have two IT people,
right,
and they're already overworked. So
okay,
how are they going to implement a new tool with a new technology in a new genre? You know, they're not cybersecurity experts.
No, exactly. And that's why...
You're already overworked.
You are the expert. So people go to it-security-solutions.com.
Correct.
They can learn all about you there and learn about the services. Just so, I like people to know where they can go and make a connection.
Thank you.
As far as that goes, right? And it's to explain to our listeners how you kind of plug in with a client. They call you up like, we want to deploy the service. How do you actually integrate in and become part of that IT team? And you're now taking care of what's going on for their cybersecurity.
What we'd like to do is we'd like to get in advance of the hackers.
Okay.
Certainly, we'll take a phone call after a breach has occurred.
Right.
But it's going to cost them more money.
Oh, it's at that point, you're kind of down the river a bit, right?
A little bit.
Yeah.
So if they call us and have us do their security assessment, we'll give them a break on the security assessment and then we'll be able to customize a solution for them that fits their needs.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, not every company is the same size, has the same footprint for the internet or has different compliance requirements, and they all need to be treated differently. And
gotcha.
That's why an assessment is a great way to start.
I think it's a baseline. You have to do that just to know the health of the company.
A baseline is a great word. You know, how often do people actually do a cybersecurity assessment?
Probably never.
That's the problem.
Exactly. So be proactive. So for 2019, your resolution should be get that baseline assessment and then get your cholesterol checked. You know, a little bit of cybersecurity, a little bit of personal health, mix
Go
them together.
Go out in the sun and exercise,
and
all
exercise.
Right?
Exercise, exactly. Just saying, we all make our resolutions. People are going to get healthier. I think you should make sure your company's healthy.
Well, that's
and
just
get a
it. If your company's
check.
Healthy, then it's going to be able to grow and you're going to keep people employed and you're going to make more money.
Exactly.
If you get hacked, how are you going to do anything to move forward?
It's a bad scene.
It's going to cost you enormous amounts of money to try to clean it up, to try to ensure everybody that had a breach, and to try and clean up your reputation as well.
Exactly.
So starting today with a security assessment gets you in front of the people that are already assessing you that we don't know.
Gotcha.
Because the bad guys are doing it every day.
Oh, I know. It's just and they creeps
use,
me out, man.
They
creeps
use
me
tools
out.
Like Google to find the openings in your environment.
Gotcha. Yep. and they just scan, scan, scan. They find the ones and pinpoint on them and then start drilling in, right?
It's eye-opening.
Yeah, and it's increasing every single day.
Yeah, it's so much more cost-effective. Let's get you an assessment and let's get you secure.
Gotcha.
Firewalls and virus scanners aren't enough.
They're not. And so what's the best-sized company that you work with? Is there a company that's too small to be working with you? If you're a three-person shop, should they be talking to you?
Well, you know, if they're making $2 million and up,
okay,
that's our footprint. Right,
that's your footprint. That's where it makes sense to bring you in.
It really does, because now they have a commitment to their business to keep it running. If they're $100,000, though, they might say, you know, if we lose everything, we lose everything, and we'll start again.
Right.
But if they protect it from the beginning, it might be $2 million next month.
Absolutely.
Look, big business is trying to partner with small business as much as they can. And that mandates that they have a better, more mature security model.
Yeah, we'll talk about that more, because I think that's really interesting, because you are seeing a lot of that, where you have a smaller company that's partnering up to be an innovation arm of a larger company. But to do that, they need to make sure that anything you're working on, that you're secure, and that there are no vulnerabilities, and that you're covered.
Well, there's a thing called vendor management.
Okay.
Security vendor management. So that helps improve the security for the larger business, because the large business doesn't really have a role in the small business for protecting them. They expect that they have a maturity model that's keeping them protected and also assuring that they don't have threats already in-house. Target is a great indication of small business working with big business, because the breach was caused by a small HVAC vendor in Sharpsburg.
I know, right here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that really brings it close to home, doesn't it?
It goes to show you. Just reminding you, listen, we're talking to Albert Whale here. We've got a couple minutes left from IT Security Solutions at it-security-solutions.com. I think for your 2019 resolution, reach out to him and say, hey, I think I need an assessment. Check it out, because at this day and age, you need professionals checking the stuff out for you. Like I said, just buying some antivirus and some anti-malware isn't really going to keep you.
It's kind of like going for brain surgery by the guy that runs the golf course, you know?
Oh, goodness.
Is that the right plan there? Yeah. I mean,
he whacks you in the head with the golf club to knock you out. And it's just not the best way.
That's their anesthesia, right?
Exactly. It's not the best way to live. So we got about a minute or so left. What else should we be thinking about when it comes to cybersecurity in 2019?
Look, the problem is you can't see what's going on inside the network. Most people don't look at what's going on inside the network.
Okay.
Shutting things down at night might help,
right?
But if you've already been infected or hacked,
right,
turning it back on gets them an open doorway back into your system.
It just slips it right on again.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff. And that's why
it's a persistent world that we live in. Everybody wants to be on the internet as much as possible. You have a cell phone, there's no firewall on it. Virtually none of them have virus scanners on it. And we're using our life and putting it in the hands of people that we never see.
I know. Crazy stuff. I'm so glad you got to stop by and talk about this, because, like I said, it's a good year for New Year's resolutions to go out and say, I'm going to do something about this, because people tend to forget about it and until it's too late. We don't want that to happen.
We certainly don't.
Excellent. So one more time, Albert Whale, it-security-solutions.com. Check you guys out. Hey, this is Jonathan Kirsten with the Pittsburgh Technology Council. We've got a lot more cybersecurity stuff coming your way. We're talking to CyberCrunch. We're talking to Mount Aloysius College. It's a night for cybersecurity stuff, Albert. What can I say?
That's a great theme, let me tell you.
Absolutely.
Keeping people safe.
That's what it's all about. So learn more about the Pittsburgh Technology Council by going to pghtech.org. For 36 years now, helping technology companies succeed. It's just in our blood. We can't help but do this anymore. And we love bringing you the show every single Friday night. Hope every Friday night in 2019 you make this part of your routine, is how you stay up to date with everything going on in Pittsburgh's tech sector. I'll be right back after this quick break. Oh, another Friday night here in Pittsburgh. And I don't know, I think this is like the best time of the year. It's like the holiday season. It's just that feeling out there. Bah humbugs. You can't say that. Hey, this is Jonathan Kirsten with the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Just love bringing you the show, because we get to explore all the great things that are happening in Pittsburgh's ecosystem, our tech ecosystem. And tonight on the show, we have Jeff Sinceri. He's an assistant professor out of Mount Aloysius College. Really cool setup. Just like an hour and a half outside of Pittsburgh. Just drive down 22, right?
Hop, skip, and a jump.
And a few weeks ago, they just announced some really cool programs that I think our listeners need to know about, our companies need to know about. They just launched up the Cybersecurity and Digital Forensics Program. And these are some crazy cool skills that I know so many people need. Companies need it. People need the skills to work for those companies and everything like that. And
very, very in demand in this day and age.
Absolutely. And so Jeff, you've been the man on the scene with getting this program up and running and everything like that. But quickly, tell us about Jeff Sinceri. Like, what do you do?
Do you want the long version or the short version?
The short version. We'll nerd out. Yeah.
The short version is I was a field service tech for a few years.
Okay.
I got into systems administration, did some graduate work, decided that I'd like to try teaching.
Okay.
Got a position at the Mount in IT, and just I took a look at the program. The program was good, but I saw places where I thought
I can make it better.
I can make it better,
right?
Or places where I looked at the industry and thought, this is where the industry is going to be in 5 or 10 years. We need to get there now, get there ahead of the game. So at that point, about six, 7 years ago, we brought together some advisory folks from the industry. We had some contacts in law enforcement.
Gotcha.
Brought together some contacts and asked them what's the big thing. Where is law enforcement?
Exactly.
The Mount's always had a strong hand in law enforcement curriculum education. Graduates going to state police, local police, things like that.
Right.
So we had connections there. Talked to those folks, and this is at the point where the National Drug Intelligence Center had just shut down its Johnstown office, but we still had personnel in the area. So we had a lot of people in and asked them, where should we go? We want to do things that help law enforcement, contribute to society.
Exactly.
You know? Digital forensics was the one thing that we heard from all. Digital forensics
kept coming,
is huge.
Exactly.
Quote from there was a guy from the DEA, and he said, you know what, drug dealer – I say that.
You can say that.
Drug dealers, you bust a drug dealer and he's got 5 different phones on him. We need to get all that
information off those phones. Exactly.
So we committed to that. We found some really good adjuncts. We like to use adjuncts because adjuncts, they're bringing real time.
They're actually in the field. They're in the trenches with this stuff
exactly.
every day. So they're bringing it to the students, right?
I have a wealth of experience, but I actually haven't done that stuff other than hobby wise in about 7 years that I've been teaching.
Right.
So we like to use adjuncts where we can for
definitely.
Sort of
I think it makes perfect sense because you want the people, the men and women that are on the scene every day dealing with this, bringing what's going on.
They're doing it during the day, and that night they're talking about it to the students.
Absolutely.
It's great.
So reminding our listeners, we're talking to Jeff Sinceri. He is the assistant professor at Mount Aloysius College. Go to MTALOY.edu. Like Mount Alloy, or I'm trying to think, what would be the short term for that?
For the URL?
Yeah,
would be
yeah.
MTAlloy.edu.
MTAlloy, okay. Yep. I wonder if I didn't mess that up. Because Aloysius is a tough name to say.
It takes a couple years before an employee can just write that one out.
I'm telling you, but here's a fast fact, though. My grandfather's middle name was Aloysius.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just saying. So, you know, I like the name. It's very, very cool as far as that goes.
You should know how to spell it.
I can barely spell it. So anyhow, what I'm really excited about is, so obviously students must be really interested in this for you to have this very unique type of program at a small, cool school setting where you're, I know you create lots of flexibility so people can take these programs
and small program size,
not right.
The program in and of itself, I should say, but the classroom mm-hmm. size, typically, and this is, I wasn't super happy about this, but going, the specialized classroom is going from 12 seats to the new lab has 20 seats, but compared to some of the bigger schools, a 20-seat lab is fairly small.
Okay.
But what that means to the student is that professor can come around and give individual
You're
attention.
Getting more individual FaceTime with that professor who's out there every day doing what they do, bringing that expertise right to that student. And so then how long is the program for a student to be ready to go?
The associates, we have the associates split out. One associates is strictly the digital forensics investigation.
Okay.
The other associates is strictly the cybersecurity and incident handling, cybersecurity operations and incident handling.
Okay.
And then each associates, the IT portion of that associates, because we are a liberal arts institution, there are some core courses that they
have. Of course,
have to take,
absolutely.
Which we think is beneficial.
No, you got to have that whole student, you know what I'm saying?
The broad
exactly.
perspective, yeah. But each half constitutes the concentration in cybersecurity and digital forensics that you could get at the bachelor's level. So, as I mentioned, you can come in, you can do the associates, take a look at the job market, see what's out there. if you find an opportunity, great. I love it when my students get out there. I'm not there to keep the student there for as long as I can.
You want them out there.
I want them out there and being successful.
Exactly.
And yeah. But if the associates wasn't their original goal, or they don't find the job opportunities that they're looking for,
right,
they can just circle right back into the bachelor's. Everything fits right in.
Right. They don't lose any ground from having
Correct.
Left for a year or two
Correct.
To go try in the marketplace. And they can,
yeah.
they can come back and get the other side of that degree.
All of the requirements in each associate's are requirements in the bachelor's with the concentration. So
very cool. Makes it very, very seamless as far as that goes.
Effectively, yeah. It just gives that student the opportunity to pivot and let's see what's out there.
Right.
And if somebody says, hey, I'm going to give you six figures to move to the beach and do
yeah.
security stuff.
Like, I'm there.
Go for
let's
it.
Go. Let me get my swimsuit. Yep.
If not, then, and I'm being facetious, but a lot right. of those jobs are down in Maryland and
right.
Virginia. So.
No, absolutely. But I mean, the whole idea is that I think as you spin this up, I know here in Pittsburgh, we have so many of our member companies at the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Like these are the types of men and women they need, and they're really tough to find. That's why I was so excited when I saw that you guys were spinning this program up. And the fact that I think it's really cool that these smaller schools are really filling these niches in the marketplace right now, because you're agile, you're smaller. You can be an assistant professor and you can say, hey, I see a need in the marketplace. I'm interested in this. And they're giving you the latitude to go and spin that up.
That was a big advantage. I do want to come back to one.
Surely.
You mentioned a moment ago that the need out here in Pittsburgh. I have been mentioning that to students recently.
Okay.
As we realized what was going on in, you know, the Silicon Valley of the East and things like that. I've been
right.
telling my students, look at Pittsburgh first.
Yes.
Because
yes.
there is a need out there. But yeah, at a bigger institution, a professor of my rank likely wouldn't have the opportunity
exactly.
to make more than a suggestion that would have to go through many layers of bureaucracy and so
exactly.
on. In my case, I spoke to a couple of people, and the next thing I know, I'm talking to the college president. Here's why we need to do this.
Love it. See? Direct line up, so, and they're like, yeah, and they let you build it up.
He said, I don't know what you're talking about, but it sounds good.
You're saying there's a need in the marketplace, and yeah. you bring the information to prove that in the data, and
yep.
you got
yep.
a program. People are going through it. They're getting
and
the skills.
In this case, you don't even really need data. All you have to do is watch the news.
Just wait. You know I mean? That's
because
exactly
we have,
right.
And in fact, it was day before yesterday, I believe, Amazon. I don't know. It's,
yeah.
I don't want to name names. A yeah. big online
gotcha.
Retailer
okay.
said that they had some sort of a breach. And then another site that I frequent, I won't mention the name, but it's a site where you go and ask questions, and they are answered by learned people.
Oh, I heard about that.
I got an email
got
this
email.
Morning
Uh-oh.
That said we've had a data breach.
<It's> like, <uh-oh. laughs>
we don't know exactly what was disclosed. Now, I'll give that organization, if any of you have figured out who it is, or you got the email, that at least they are proactive about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, they're on top of it.
We've heard in the past, and that's where some of the ethics of our students, I hope, would play into a situation
Definitely.
Like that, where they would go and say, look, we've had a breach, and we need to tell people about it.
Exactly.
We've heard in the past, like, oh, it was one of the credit reporting agencies or somebody that
gotcha.
Had a breach, and then 5 years later admitted that maybe they lost some data when they were in front of Congress.
Right.
You know,
oh,
they were
maybe,
subpoenaed.
You know,
and,
oh,
you know,
my goodness.
Maybe something happened.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, we need more ethics in that area.
Without
at least
a doubt.
Somebody in an advisory role that can advise the CEO or
right.
CFO, look, this is really where we need to go.
Absolutely. So, what else would Mount Aloysius like to maybe spin up? Are there other areas that you're looking at? Other types of
right now, for me, I am looking at changes that are coming in the digital forensics arena.
Okay.
I actually, one of my graduates is an evidence technician for the FBI.
Ooh, yeah.
He was up yesterday for our open house, and I had a conversation with him, which sort of the suppositions or ideas that were rolling around in my head,
yeah.
He confirmed them.
Uh-huh.
So I'm looking at some changes that we're going to make to the digital forensics program in the next year or two. The other area that's huge, not directly related to me, although I want to get more involved with it, is we have a local high school, very big, financially stable high school, and they're doing a partnership with us for a robotics program. Robotics
love
combined with high school and
right.
an associate's degree. And if I can take some robotics classes, that would be great.
You can nerd out on that.
Yep.
So like, that is so awesome. That's why I'm so happy we could put a spotlight on all the great work happening at Mount Aloysius College. And it's such a short drive to get out there.
Yep.
And it's a beautiful campus.
It's, I like to tell the students, it's far enough away from the family so you, you don't have to see them all the time, but you can still make it home for the holidays.
They can still bail you out just in case, right?
Yep.
No bailing out, no bailing out. So Jeff Sinceri, assistant professor at Mount Alloy, just go to mountalloy.edu and you can learn all about their programs. I encourage people, if you want to get the skills, check it out. If you're an employer looking to find kids and people with these skills, reach out to them and say, hey, we're interested.
Or internships.
Or internships, even better. Yeah, give them that real-world experience as far as that goes. So glad we got to link up and talk about this stuff. Learn all about it. Hey, this is Jonathan Kirsting. I'm with the Pittsburgh Technology Council. For 36 years now, the PTC has been helping our tech companies succeed. We absolutely love it. It is our passion. Make 2019 the year you join up with the Pittsburgh Technology Council, because we have so many ways that we can help you and your company really move forward, whether you're looking to find new sales, new partners, looking to get some visibility, looking to find that right talent, what we all know we need. We all need those cybersecurity folks and those digital forensic experts. We can help link you into all that type of stuff in 2019. Don't be shy. Check out our website at pghtech.org. I'm taking a quick break, and I am coming back with a lot more Tech Vibe Radio, I swear. Welcome back, everybody. It is Friday night. I don't know how it became the end of December, but it's that crazy time of year where it seems like the years always go by fast, but once you hit December, it just starts ramping up and going super, super fast. And we just love bringing you this show every Friday night, even during the busy holiday season, because we have some of the greatest, coolest companies in the Pittsburgh region that are really making Pittsburgh, dare I say, the cool city that it is today. So many great companies. And we've got actually a company we're ready to talk to right now that does a really important service that we often take for granted, and that is getting rid of your old computer equipment. I mean, not only is it a nuisance and a hassle seeing all these old gray computer monitors and terminals and things like junking up your office, but there's security issues around that stuff. There's data on there. You can't just plunk them in the trash for security reasons, for environmental reasons, and all that kind of fun stuff. And we have a really cool company here called CyberCrunch, and we have Bora Kalskin here with us tonight. So, Bora, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So glad to have you here, man.
And glad to be here.
Very, very cool. So quickly, tell us about your background, Bora. What have you been doing, and what led you up to CyberCrunch?
My background, actually, in engineering and business, material science engineer by trade, and I have business degrees. I work for one of the biggest nonprofits here in Pittsburgh area, and last 10, 12 years, I've been working in electronic recycling, general recycling, data destruction, and CyberCrunch. Now, we've been dealing with this electronic recycling and data security issues last 4 or 5 years, and I start working for them a couple years ago.
Gotcha.
And that's how we cross
Very cool.
over.
So what attracted you to go to CyberCrunch and say, I want to spend my time here?
CyberCrunch is a leading data destruction and electronics recycling company in this area. I know the founder and all the partners. We work together in this recycling arena. We used to go meet in Harrisburg working with Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection meetings and stuff. So we all are... put our souls and lives
exactly.
into this.
That's what it is.
We're trying to, you know, take care of this electronic recycling and data destruction the right way here in Pennsylvanians.
Operative words, the right way, as far as that goes. And just to tell our listeners, if they're, you know, they're near their phone or whatever, they want to check out your website. If you go to ccrcyber.com, they can learn all about you there. And tell you what, I was checking out your site before the show. You have an awesome video on your site that really kind of overviews in a real quick, fun way, even some fun time-lapse kind of video going on as you kind of fill up a warehouse and then put it all through the shredder and haul it away as far as that goes. You really get a good sense of what the company does. Yeah. So let's just kind of go over some of the key services as how you work with a business or how you work with a residential consumer to help them get rid of their old computers, you know, hardware, all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah, exactly. We are an IT asset disposition company. We work business to business. We are here to help all the our business customers. Also, we do events for our residential customers a few times a year to help them out, too. We're a B2B company. We help all the corporation companies in nationwide, actually.
Oh, okay. Excellent. I thought you were just in the Pittsburgh area, but you go across. Excellent.
Yeah, we go nationwide. We have our headquarters is in Greensburg, Pennsylvania, and we have another location in Aston, PA, which is Philadelphia suburbs. So two warehouses help us to serve our customers nationwide. We help companies to recycle properly their old electronics, anything with plug, and we destroy all the data in their any media equipment. It could be cell phones, hard drives, any memory sticks, any CDs, you know, backup tapes. We have a shredder. We can do on-site or off-site
shredding. Let's talk about that shredder real fast, because I'm kind of obsessed with your shredder. I'm going to tell you that right now, because like I love seeing big teeth like gobble stuff up and just crush it. Because there's some places where they might say they're just pulling the hard drive out and tossing it, but that hard drive could still have information that someone could plug into something and pull the information off of.
Yeah.
Now, what I saw in this awesome video of yours on your website, once again, if you go over to ccrcyber.com, it's this belt with these big metal teeth, and as that hard drive went into it, it was literally shredded into like hundreds of pieces.
Yes, exactly.
And mangled. You could never reassemble that hard drive if you wanted to.
Yeah, that's the end of life, complete data destruction. We have customers that
end of life is definitely what that is.
That's hundreds of pieces. You cannot put them together. We shred them. A lot of companies actually require that nowadays. You can clean the data with software too, but
you need the whole thing gone, right?
Gone, you know, it's done. You can't sleep right at night. Right. So
I guess you work with like a lot of like hospitals, because I'm sure this is like HIPAA compliance
and
meets like Sarbanes-Oxley type compliances and things like that.
Exactly, yeah. GLBA are all the we're compliant with all those new laws and all the state and local laws. So we work with a lot of hospital systems, legal companies, any accounting firms, finance companies, anybody has data could be our customer. So,
gotcha.
You know, nowadays every company has at least one or two computers, and they have data. Everybody has cell phones, smartphones. You know, you have data.
Right.
You have smartwatches. You have data. You have cable box at home. Now they
got
all
data.
Have data.
I didn't even think about that. That's so. Oh my Lord. Yeah. So I guess there's a complete listing of all the things on your site that you can take care of.
Yeah, if you go on our website, it explains what we do, all services we provide. We do, again, like full complete recycling with anything with plug, and we destroy all your data for you. Also, we give companies a certificate of recycling.
Yeah, tell me more about that, because that's something, of course, they want to have that in their files to show that CyberCrunch has properly disposed of this, not only device, but the data that's on that device, too.
Yeah,
right?
For your for companies, insurance, and audit purposes, they need this kind of documentation in their files, you know, certificate of recycling and certificate of data destruction. We scan all the hard drives, all the media comes to us before we shred.
Okay.
After we shred it, we give companies a certificate of data destruction with all the serial numbers,
wow.
Who destroyed it, what's the method of destruction. You know, we give this to companies. So in the future, they keep it for their audit.
They can pull it exactly for audit purposes. And if there's a legal case for some reason, they can say, no, this device was destroyed on this date, had this serial number, and CyberCrunch certifies
that. Otherwise, if you don't have the proof, like how do you, if you're inspection or audit, how do you tell people, hey, we did it, but show me the, you know, proof. So
exactly. And you guys can do that.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
We are third-party certified, Arturia certified, Pennsylvania DEP permitted, local IT asset disposition company. So you have to work companies like us to be able to have a credible certification of data destruction
and
recycling. So we get audited by DEP, by our certification body every year. So
excellent. Just reminding our listeners, we're talking to Bora Kalskin from CyberCrunch. And switch gears a little bit about the environmental side of this, because obviously as you shred this stuff up, you're making sure that it's being recycled properly and that the heavy metals and all the crazy things that make these devices up don't go back into the earth and contaminate water and land and things like that.
Exactly. We are R2 responsible recycling certified recycler. So everything we intake our warehouse goes all the approved downstreams. We follow every material we take all the way to the
end. You can process
end.
It all the way to the end.
Exactly.
It's like dust of dust, right?
Yeah, it goes to our downstream. We go audit them once a year, so we know exactly where that material ends up. So.
Very interesting. And people really, they need to know that these days. I mean, it is definitely a requirement. as far as that goes. So do you have any estimate as to like how many tons of computers you've successfully scrapped? How many hard drives? It's got to be just millions of tons. I don't know.
Millions of tons. We go over 4 or 5 million of pounds of electronics material here. So we've been in business 6-7 years, so
right.
we're probably close to 50 million pounds.
Whoa, that's a lot
since
of,
we've been in business.
That's a lot of shredding, man.
A lot of computers, a lot of monitors, a lot of items. Especially nowadays, technology changes so fast. So,
I know. What's his dit? I mean, your business is only going to grow. You think about how often people are replacing their devices and their computers and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. So we're here for solutions. So. And also, I mentioned earlier, we service nationwide. So if you have a headquarter in Pittsburgh and, you know, have other locations.
You've got offices in other parts of the country, you can take care of
them. Yeah, we take care of them. So we have certified partners.
Right.
So whether you're in California or, you know, Arizona, we
can spider out, put it in the network, you're going to take care of it.
Yeah, we have a dedicated person in our office to handle this account. So.
Very cool. Very, very cool. I love it. This is just, I think, very exciting to me that you guys do this service and you take care of the environment. Keep everything kind of going as far as that goes. I think that's just awesome. So I'm trying to think to myself, like, you know, is there a company that's either too small for you to work with? If I'm like a two-person startup and I have like 3 or 4 computers I need to get rid of, can I call you as well? Should I be shy and not call, or should I call and say, hey, I got 3 computers?
You can call us.
Okay.
You know, nothing, no job is too small for us.
Okay.
We try to work mid-sized to, you know, 50 to 100 seats companies, but we work with any business businesses. So you have 5 computers, you need data distraction. Absolutely.
Give a call.
Yeah. We can do pickup with our own trucks, you know, throughout the Pennsylvania. One call, you know, we schedule it. Also, we have mail-in service. You know, if you have an office somewhere rural, you have only one computer.
You can box it up and send it.
We send you a prepaid label. You ship it to us. We shred the
hard
drives.
Cool.
We give you a certificate of data destruction.
So there's no reason not to try this then. I mean, you're making it to where there's no barrier to entry. Do not take that computer and be clever and put a garbage bag around it. Try putting it out in the trash.
Whether you're like 5-person company, you know, small agency, or 1,000, 2,000 seats, big corporation, we can help you.
All the way around. So, Bora, thank you so much for hanging out with us on Tech Vibe Radio tonight. Once again, if you go to ccrcyber.com, watch the video.
Yeah.
On the lower part of the screen, you'll be amazed at how they shred these things up and make sure your data is gone.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Like you said, that video is awesome. It shows everything, what we do in, you know, 2-3 minutes clip there. So
give it a shout. Anyhow, another Tech Vibe Radio under the belt. Just reminding everybody, have an awesome holiday season this year. Can't thank you enough for tuning in every Friday night and making Tech Vibe part of what you do and how you plug into Pittsburgh's tech sector. And for 2019, make the Pittsburgh Technology Council part of your ticket to success. Learn more about us at pghtech.org. We love helping you succeed, whether it's through business development, finding the right talent for 2019, visibility, making good positive headlines, and, of course, advocating for a great positive business environment here in southwestern Pennsylvania so your company can grow. Pittsburgh Technology Council, now in our 36th year of helping technology companies succeed. Companies like CyberCrunch, as far as that goes. You guys are a card-carrying member, and you were also a finalist for Tech 50 this year. So once again, good stuff there, Bora. Appreciate
Thank you. Thank you for having me here in the show. And happy holidays to everybody listening in their radios.
Fantastic stuff. This is Jonathan Kirsting with the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Have an awesome weekend, everybody.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.